Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit and Birmingham and earned a teaching degree from the University of Michigan. She got her first camera on her fifth birthday, and today is a nationally recognized and award-winning photojournalist. She's the author of The Key, Celebrated People Unlock Their Secrets to Life, and founder of Pictures of Hope, which has donated over 1 million cameras to elementary school's children. Her name, Linda Solomon, and we're honored to have her as a guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Linda Solomon, the nationally recognized and award-winning photojournalist. Linda, welcome, an honor to have you.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood?
Sure.
And your mom and your dad.
Wow. Well, I'm so lucky to have had the childhood that I had with the most wonderful parents who have devoted their lives really to helping us achieve what they wanted us to achieve and certainly what we wanted to achieve in life. And they showed us that anything is possible, Jack. I think if your parents show you that, you can do anything in life that you want to do. That message stays with you for a lifetime. And I think that I felt that way, and I know my sister Jill Rappaport, who is on the Today Show, and she feels that way. And I think that once you know you can achieve your dream, that's very critical to success.
You and your sister, and she's been on the Today Show for over 20 years.
Yes, she has.
What did your mom and dad feed the two of you when you were kids?
Lots of love and healthy food. You know, but I think the love is what matters most. And certainly the confidence that they have given us, you know, stays with you, as I mentioned. I just felt that, you know, if things didn't work out, rejection, I've always felt that's one person's opinion and that person is wrong. So I've always had that attitude, and believe me, I've been rejected throughout my career, but I you know, I don't have a pity party. I sometimes feel like hiding under the covers, but that doesn't last for more than a few hours. I just brush myself off and start again. And I think that's important to remember. Often I'm asked to give advice to kids that I work with, and I always tell them, you've got to give it your all. Give it 150% and don't be bothered by rejection. Continue to devote everything you know to what you want to do in life, and also continue to learn and be nice. Sometimes, Jack, people forget to be nice. I think it's very important that while you are working as hard as you're working to achieve your goals, still be a nice person and a sensitive person.
The book, which we'll talk about later,
sure.
The Key,
mm-hmm.
You say, this book is dedicated to my husband, Barry Solomon, mm-hmm. and my mom, Mona Rappaport. Their love has provided every important key. In memory of my dad, Daniel J. Rappaport, whose key words of wisdom will always remain with me, live, love, laugh. Talk about those three words.
Wow. Do you know that my dad had those three words on his stationery? So that message of live, just live your life. Give love, receive love, and laugh. Have fun. I mean, you've got to have fun and maintain your sense of humor. Even when times are very difficult, you've got to see that, you know, there is still humor left, you know, even when you're going through some tough times. And those were the three messages that will always remain in my heart forever from my father. And I try to live that way. And I think they're three very important messages to always remember. You know, no matter what you go through in life, you've got to keep living. And I always, you know, after my dad passed away, it was devastating. And he died at a young age. And believe me, I mean, there were times when I thought, how can I be happy again? But I knew that in honor of him and in honor of his love and certainly his legacy, I would continue to grow and to live and be happy. And I try to do that.
You know, you talk to doctors, and they say one of the greatest medicines or wonder pills for recovering from illness or surgery is laughter. So, what made this young Linda Rappaport start taking photos?
Well, I've always thought it was fun. That's the main thing. You know, to be able to capture something that you see that's fun or beautiful or interesting or special. I'm looking around your studio. There's some amazing moments captured that are beautifully framed on your walls here. And that's just the neatest profession or hobby. Anyone can enjoy photography. And that's why I love teaching, because it's such a special thing to do in your life. I mean, to be able to look at life and capture it forever in a photograph. And, you know, today with digital cameras, they make it, you know, they think they're all so darn easy that we can all do it very easily. I like to still use film, believe it or not. I'm very, as they say, old school. That's the new expression for being kind of outdated, I guess. But I still use film. And I do shoot digitally, but I love the texture of film. In our book, People We Know, Horses They Love, Robert Redford, who's on the cover, said to me, I love the fact that you're still shooting film, because while I was photographing him, I kept changing rolls of film. He said, you know, there's nothing like film. And I truly believe that, the warmth of film. Digital is still a little contrasty. I mean, if people say, well, can you really see a difference? I think you can. But who knows, Jack? One day there, we may not be able to find film. It's certainly becoming harder and harder to find black and white film. And but I still believe that photography just has given me so much happiness. I mean, just to be able to look at life, even looking out at your studio, I mean, wanting to capture now the sun is coming through the clouds. I think photography gives you a greater appreciation for life.
Many times when I'm meeting somebody for lunch for the first time, I say, if you see a person that looks like Robert Redford, I'm the other guy. When we come back, we'll ask Linda Solomon about the fascination us humans have with pictures. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Linda Solomon, and her dad gave her her first camera on her fifth birthday. Linda, explain to us the fascination we have with pictures.
Well, as they say, certainly it stops a moment. Photography reveals the soul. I mean, there are so many different expressions when capturing the essence of someone. I always like to say you can really reveal the heart of someone in a photograph. So I think that's what makes it so fascinating. The history, just as we talked about the photos in here of the various moments in your studio with celebrities that have been guests from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. This is our history, and it's beautifully captured in the still moment. The still moment is, that's just what it is. It stops the moment forever.
Why is it easier to express something very personal through a picture rather than through words?
Well, sometimes it's hard to express something very personal verbally, but through an art form, it's easier. I can share with you things that I think in a photo that reveals so much to you, and your own interpretation of that photo, I think, is so special. And sometimes that's hard to do in words. So in a photo, you can really tell the most poignant story, and especially the photographs, I think, that really describe that person. I mean, sometimes you'll look at a photo, and the ones that stay with me, there were some amazing photographers. Roddy McDowall, the fine actor who passed away a few years back, was one of the greatest photographers. And he had photographed Elizabeth Taylor on the beach when she was filming the Sandpiper, and the way that her hair, I mean, you could just see the water reflecting in her eyes, those gorgeous violet eyes. But it was just that moment where the sun behind her hair, I mean, that's what they call the magic hour late in the day. You can just tell when the photo was taken at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the light is just soft and diffused and more of that pinky orange, gorgeous light. That's the time of day I like to shoot, and I like to shoot everything in natural light. So that's the time of day that's the magic hour.
Tell us about the Pictures of Hope Project.
The Pictures of Hope program is a program that means so much to me personally, because I've had the opportunity to work with homeless children. And I've had the opportunity to show them that their hopes and dreams matter by giving children that live in shelters cameras and asking them to capture with a camera what they hope and dream for a better life. And some of the photographs, one little boy had said to me, well, the only hope and dream I have is to see my mother smile again. And that was what he chose to capture with his camera. Another child, Darius, who was living in the Denby shelter here in the Salvation Army, his hope was to have his own bed, and he photographed a little bed. We created holiday cards with the photographs, and 100% went back to helping the children living in shelters. And I'll tell you, Jack, I mean, the impact upon me personally, but on the children, so many of the mothers that were living in shelters said to me, you know, when you're living in a shelter, you don't think anybody cares about you. So for you to take the time to work with the kids, and for General Motors, who sponsored the program, to devote their time and their interest in helping homeless children by giving these children cameras and having these children express what they dream about was life-changing. Two of the children, one Brittany, who lives in San Diego, her hope was to go to college, and she photographed the exterior of San Diego State University, and the president of the university happened to see the card, and Brittany was granted a 4-year college scholarship. And this happened with another child in Memphis, living in a Salvation Army in Memphis. And so we could see how one photograph changed a life. And all of the children I met, Jack, when you asked them to capture what they hope for, we'd have the children make out a list of their hopes and dreams. They didn't dream for Nintendos or iPads or iPods. They were all dreaming for a good education. And that was a lesson that all children could learn, because this is something that's taken for granted by affluent children. And yet a child living in a shelter whose only wish was to have a good education is something very important, and very important as a life lesson.
You know, I've often said I'm not the host, I'm the beneficiary of this show. And over the last 5+ years, close to 300 guests, I've learned a lot. And one thing that I've heard a number of times is I've learned much more from the poor than I ever did from the rich. Mm-hmm. And you've been around the rich. And with these inner city kids, you've been around the poor. Mm-hmm. What have those kids taught you, Linda Solomon?
Well, as I mentioned, I mean, they teach sensitivity. They teach how important it is just to appreciate each day, how to appreciate, as I mentioned earlier, just to see your mother smile, appreciate the chance to go to college. I think that the misconceptions that were dispelled because of the photographs taken by these homeless children. Sometimes people think someone is homeless because there are maybe issues that, you know, drug issues, alcohol issues, or there are other problems. But we learned this could happen to anyone, as we well know, certainly in our economy, but the problem of homelessness certainly has escalated within the last few years. I mean, the numbers are staggering, but as we all are aware. But I think because of what these children shared in their hearts. And back to your original question, it was easier for them to share how they felt about life with a camera than it was verbally. And that's what so many of the therapists said to me. You know, when they're living, when the children are living in a shelter, there are social workers that work daily with the children. They would all say to me across the country, we've never experienced anything like this program because the kids never told us how they felt. I mean, one little boy photographed a family in shadow on his side in on a sidewalk. It was just the shadow. And he said, my hope is to have my own family. And then I asked what had happened and the stories and how it changed me. I'll tell you, Jack, I mean, every day I would come back and you just, you know, you're as grateful as I always have been. I was even more grateful. And my appreciation for the things that really matter. I mean, that is what I learned. I mean, forget this nonsense. Even the latest digital camera, you don't need all that. I mean, I can capture, really, I don't need, I think you can capture with a one-time use $7 camera. And certainly the children did exactly that. What I capture with a fancy schmancy digital. But I think back to your question, I learned just to appreciate every day and to appreciate the things that matter.
Your sister and you have just published a new book, Jack and Jill, The Miracle Dog with a Happy Tale to Tell. Tell us about that book.
Jack and Jill is a children's book. And Jack was one of Jill's dogs. Jill has five dogs, and they're all featured in the book. But Jack was a very special dog. And his life was very special because he lived his life with courage. He had cancer and had to have a leg amputated. And he lived a life beautifully with three legs. So the lesson of the book is that with love and courage, you can get through anything. And I documented his life, and I learned so much from him. Just being able to watch him. And it's not easy for a German Shepherd to get along on three legs, yet he did. He did everything he did with four on three. He chased, he ran, he played, and one of Jill's other dogs is a little 9-pound Havanese. And the relationship between the two. Little CJ is the little dog. She would go with Jack for all his chemotherapy treatments. And she'd watch over him like a mother. And in the book, I captured how she looked at him when he was sleeping. She stayed awake to make sure he was okay. When he would have a shot, she would look at the doctor to make sure he wasn't going to hurt him. It was the most amazing thing to capture for me as a photojournalist and also as an animal lover, of course. But Jack was so special. And I think children reading this book will learn so much, you know, about courage and not to be afraid.
Can't go wrong with a Jack, you know? We're talking to Linda Solomon, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Linda Solomon, the author of The Key: Celebrated People Unlock Their Secrets to Life. You went to 60 phenomenal people. The first one you got, their key to life was Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. How did you ever get him to do that?
Well, at that time, certainly, and at any time, it's not an easy task for Tiger Woods to say yes to projects. I mean, he gets many requests per day. And when I had thought of the key to winning, I thought he would be the one to ask. In this book, I picked keys that I felt would be the right fit for each person that I asked to be in the book. And the book benefits breast cancer research. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And there are many breast cancer survivors in the book. But there are also people that had very special keys and insights that I felt should be shared. And they unlock their wisdom. And the key to winning, and I may have you read it, I don't have the book in front of me, but I thought Tiger Woods' response was very interesting. And in order to get him to say yes, as you asked, I sent my other books to him, and he reviewed them very closely. And he then said yes, and it was something that I felt having the key to winning from Tiger Woods would be a very important quote. And I can paraphrase it, but what he said was, when you want to win in life, you've got to give it your all. And if you don't, not only will you not win, but you will not, you don't even deserve to win. And I agree with that.
What's the single biggest thing you learned from these 60 people?
You know, Jack, there was a common theme that I learned. I felt that so many of the celebrities that I asked, and Steve Forbes is in the book, I asked him for the key to obtaining the brass ring, and Barbara Walters, and Dolly Parton, Aretha Franklin, lots of Detroiters, Edsel Ford, Jim Leland, Tim Allen. But the common thread, many of the celebrities that I interviewed all talked about the willingness to take a risk as a key to success. And I thought that was very interesting. They also talked about helping others, volunteering, giving back. That to me is also a key to living a successful life. I had the opportunity to do that when we saved the Birmingham Eccentric. I volunteered and loved every moment of it, and we saved our newspaper, one of the few that has been saved, maybe the only newspaper that was scheduled to close that was saved. And again, when you do these things, when you volunteer, when you give back, I think, you know, it's life-changing. So those were the common things: giving back, taking a risk, giving 100%, maintaining a sense of humor, not taking rejection to the point where you're, as I mentioned earlier, hiding under the covers. There were I think four or five common themes with all 60 people that I interviewed.
When we had lunch a couple weeks ago, you said the one that exceeded your expectations the most was this 83-year-old Tony Bennett.
Well, Tony Bennett, he's amazing. You know, he's a friend, and I just adore him. Not only is he an amazing singer and painter, but what a nice person. So unassuming. When you talk about maintaining the ability to always be nice, no matter what you achieve, he's a perfect example of that. We had dinner in Windsor when he was here. He was performing at the Casino Windsor. We had dinner, and all of these people were coming up and asking for his autograph. And he signed autographs, and he shared, you know, thoughts and thank yous. And here he was with his daughter, beautiful Antonia, who's also a singer, and his wife, Susan. And yet he shared so much with his fans. I mean, this is a career that has spanned 60 years, and yet he's still nice. How special is that? I mean, you know, I guess I've met everyone I've ever dreamed of meeting, and I think the bigger the star, the nicer. That's always seems to be the case. And Tony Bennett is a perfect example of that. And I asked him for the key to a lasting career. I thought, I need to know that answer. And he said, it's doing two things. He said, I sing and I paint. So when I get burned out of singing, I paint. And when I get burned out of my painting, I sing. So I never get burned out. And I thought that was very cute. And I think he does them both so beautifully. His paintings are in the Smithsonian. You know, we spent a day at your home painting. When he comes to Detroit, he always takes his canvases and his paintbrushes. And he asked me, he said, where shall I paint? And I said, we have to go to Jack Rasula's. He has the most magnificent garden. He spent a day at your home. And so, you know, that's what he's like. He's just, you know, and at night he performs. You know, he has a very fulfilled life because he does the things he loves. That's the other thing. You've got to do what you love in life. And I think that's what makes you happy and successful.
I think that was about 8 years ago on an August Sunday. You said, Jack, I've got a friend in town. Could I bring him over? You know, and then you bring over Tony Bennett. You pick him up. You and Barry pick him up that afternoon. He goes and performs at Pine Knob. It was your anniversary.
It was.
And as a little anniversary gift, he gave you the painting.
Of your garden.
Yes.
But your garden. He loves to photograph gardens and flowers and seascapes. And, that you know, Tony Bennett loves landscapes. That's what his thing is. So your garden. What could be more beautiful to capture in a watercolor?
Paul Newman. Mm-hmm.
So special. You know, the book that I mentioned earlier, the book on celebrities and their horses, benefited Pegasus Therapeutic Riding that helps children that are autistic and gives them the opportunity to enjoy horses. And at the time, Clea Newman, Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward's daughter, was the president of Pegasus. And our book, it was so special to be able to see how Pegasus helped children. And then we did get to know Paul Newman quite a bit. I had photographed him through the years. The first time was here in Detroit. And I'll never forget it. It was his first visit to the Grand Prix. And all the photographers and all the writers were looking to find him. And I thought, well, I've got to be able to. I'm on that mission, too. And I, at that time, I was a columnist for the Detroit News. And this was back in like 83. And do you believe I found him? He was underneath Cobo Hall, fooling around with his car. And I went up to him and I said, Mr. Newman, I'm a columnist with the Detroit News. May I take your photograph? And he said, sure. And I said, would you mind taking off your sunglasses? And without skipping a beat, he said, no, I can't. My pants will fall down. And I thought, okay, then forget it. But it was so cute. I guess that's a standard answer that he had for that question, and everyone would ask that question. But I did photograph him for the book without his glasses and also at the Oscars. One year he was given an honorary Oscar with Elizabeth Taylor, and they were both backstage, and you can imagine those eyes, her eyes, his eyes, his eyes, her eyes. That's the name of a Michelle Legrand song. But it was just amazing to see them both together. And, of course, they were in the Cat on a Hot Tin Roof together. And then to see them backstage at the Oscars was fabulous.
Christine Brinkley, Aretha Franklin, Dolly Parton, Gloria Steinem, Katie Couric, Martina, Ann Curry, Geraldine Ferreira, on and on. But you said the most amazing woman in this book, Kim Novak.
Well, she also, I guess I'm biased to my friends. Kim Novak is amazing. I mean, I had a chance to meet her when we did the horse book. Once again, she has horses and she lives on a ranch in Oregon. And she is just the most down-to-earth actor. She gave up acting for the love of her horses. So her whole life is really devoted to animals. And she married an equine veterinarian. And she was just a personal favorite because she incorporates the qualities we've talked about. Devoted to the things that she loves, and she's still nice. So I just, what can I say? And she's gorgeous. She looks more like Bo Derek. You would flip. I mean, she's, you know, in her 70s, but she looks in her 50s, and I think that's due to a healthy life and doing what she loves.
I'm Jack Crisula, and this is a different world to talk about these people. So, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything is possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Linda Solomon. Linda, in a month or so, I'm going to have a man on, John Corcoran. Couldn't read until he was 48, with a college degree, and he was a teacher for 17 years, and he couldn't read. And he talks about the written word and what a gift that is, mm-hmm. and food for the soul. Talk about the importance of writing a letter. And if you would, tell mm-hmm. about your dad's letters.
Oops. Writing letters to me has become almost a lost art. I call it an art because the art of letter writing is so special to me, but also knowing that when you hold a letter from someone, their voice is always with you when you read it, and you reread it, and you reread it, and that person's voice is with you forever. And the way they've touched the page and their penmanship and every element of a letter to me is a treasure, and I hold them in my life as treasures, and I keep them as treasures. I save every letter I've ever received, and especially the ones from my family are They're jewels to me. My father, on his birthday, would write us letters about his love for us. And then on our birthday, he would say, don't buy me anything. I don't need anything. Just write me a letter. So that's why I learned early on the importance of letter writing. And my mother is the same way. I mean, she will write lengthy letters on each birthday. And we share our love and for her beauty and her life in our letters to her on Mother's Day and on her birthday. But I think that it's so important to do that. I mean, I just can't imagine not sharing feelings in a letter with those that we love. My husband's letters, my husband's sitting right behind me, and I know he's kind of shy and modest otherwise, but I would tell you about his letters, but I have every letter he's ever given me, even when we were dating. In fact, in college, my sorority sisters would make fun of me because every day he sent me a card, and they would say, oh, well, what else is new? Another card from Barry. But it's like, so in my family, cards and letters are just our jewels. Those are the family jewels. And, you know, I brought a letter today from my dad. I have so many, but the one that I brought is so important to me. And maybe you'll talk about it, Jack, and then I can give you more information about it. But it's one that means probably the most, next to one other letter that he sent me once in 1987. He sent me a letter just on yellow legal pad. Nothing fancy. You don't have to be fancy with your letter writing. Just as long as it's written with a pencil or a pen, not an email. Now, today in life, we get wedding invitations on email. I can't relate to that. We get thank you notes through email. You know, I don't agree with that. I guess it's easy and it's fast and it's quick, and that's the kind of world we're living in. But there's nothing that compares to looking at someone's touch and the way they've written a letter.
This letter you mentioned about your dad is a check at the top. Mm-hmm. February 23rd, 1953, Grace Hospital, mm-hmm, for $122.85. Please.
And what does he say below that? Below the check, and it's a Xerox of a check, my father had written in emerald Sharpie pen, the best buy we ever made, with 3 exclamation points, happy birthday, Dad. My father had saved the check when I was born, and all these years, now you know how old I am, and I usually lie about my age, but I couldn't believe it. I thought, my God. And he Xeroxed it and he put it in the letter. But it was so touching, and the fact that it was something he had saved. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And he had given this to me many, you know, before he passed away, and he passed away 20 years ago. But he said, happy birthday, darling. And it'll stay with me forever. So when you, back to your original question, I think, you know, these are the kinds of things that even when someone isn't there for us to call or talk to, but he is there with me in his love, and that has given me, you know, my confidence.
Linda Solomon, what we look like at 20 is God's gift to you. What you look like at 60 is your gift to God. Mm-hmm. And you've met a lot of older, mm-hmm, famous people, mm-hmm, who have aged extremely well. What's the key to having that great gift to give God at 60?
Again, I mean, it's your heart, it's your smile, it's your kindness, it's your sensitivity. That's beauty. One of the most incredible people in my life, other than my family, would have been Del Warner, the wonderful journalist who passed away at 83. But again, her essence, her beauty was just forever, and she acted like she was 20. I wish I had her energy. But age is nothing. It's just a number. That means nothing. It's your spirit. It's your zest. It's your, you know, ability to laugh easily. That keeps you young forever. Jane Fonda was on Oprah yesterday. She's 72. She looks 50. I was amazed, but she just said she had her face lifted. But, you know, so that helps. But, you know, if you're not going to do all that, and you don't need to, who needs all that? You know, now there's this trend to go against all that in Hollywood, who, you know, the Botox stuff where you can't move an eyebrow, you know, and you can't emote. Thank goodness there is a trend against that because kids were starting to do it. But again, back to feeling young, it's about your heart. It's about your, again, it's how you walk in a room. You know, it's just your body language. It's your, it's everything, but it's your spirit. It's not all this cosmetic phony stuff. It's your heart.
As our time winds down together, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I think, you know, what I believe in, stay sensitive, stay sweet to each other, give it your all, and write letters. Tell the people in your life how much you love them. Because you never know when you don't have that opportunity. And write it. Say it in a letter. And it can only be two or three lines, but you've expressed your feelings in a letter and then express it in a photograph by capturing someone you love. And then you'll have that photo forever. I always tell children to photograph their rooms because when you're older, you'd love to have a photo of your bedroom. So photograph the people in your life you love and share your thoughts in letters.
52 years ago, a dad gave his young daughter a camera. And the world's better for it because of that.
Thank you.
And this Pictures of Hope project, where you've given inner city kids a million cameras, only God knows 30, 40 years from now, Linda Solomon, how many of those kids will make the world a better place because of that.
Well, thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Happy Halloween. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.